Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors. It's time for Laurie and Lynn. Local talk to start your weekend right. And now, Laurie and Lynn on WILK.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm just Jim Dandy. How are you?
I am fine. Actually, it's funny when I ask you that question because yesterday when I spoke to Cheryl at VREC, I asked her the same question when I started the conversation. I said, how are you? And she said, well, I'm just ducky.
See?
That's what I always say. And I thought I was the only person.
She needs to say that working for a veterinary
I didn't even think about
hospital,
that.
Right?
Didn't even think about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. So
that's
anyhow, how was your week?
Well, my week was okay, but it was kind of sad, Lynn. I had my brother-in-law, Robbie Foley, passed away on early Saturday morning. He was 59 years old. And
wow.
He was sick for a little bit, and it just kind of happened quicker than anyone thought. And he is the fourth out of five boys in the Foley family. And he was unmarried and no children. And Robbie just was the guy that was always there for the kids. Every Christmas showed up with his gift, made sure most of the time, especially when they got older, he would come with his gift cards thinking, you know, depending on which one it would be, what he thought that whichever child could use the most and which store he should get it from. And just would always come and show up. And he did some work, although not a lawyer, he did some work for the Foley Law Firm and other capacities. And he's just a great guy. He owned a house over near Marywood. It was his great aunt's house and then his uncle and then his. And he just was one of the kindest. He never heard him yell. His brother Kevin did the eulogy on Wednesday at St. Mary's in Dunmore, and it was it was beautiful and funny all at the same time and sad and it's just it's a heartbreak because he was just the kindest, sweetest. He never raised his voice. I was telling the story when we moved back from Philadelphia, Tom and I lived at their house for a while until we moved to where we were going to live. And so Robbie lived in the house, and Tommy loved to watch The Wizard of Oz. And he would watch it, you know, if we were there and I was in the kitchen making dinner, he would want to watch it. And then afterwards, we'd
you have to put the tape back in and watch it and watch it. He loved The Wizard of Oz. And poor Robbie, if he was sitting in the living room, he would just sit there and watch The Wizard of Oz with them over and over. And he never complained and just sat there. And Tommy would say, Mama, again, again. And, you know, it would go on and on. And he just was a kind, very gentle, kind guy who showed up everywhere he was supposed to. And, you know, it was just heartbreakingly sad for me. Quite the last couple of days. Just, you just don't think these things happen. You know, you just don't. It's our generation. Just so weird.
Yeah.
So, and then my father-in-law, who, you know, has to witness his child passing and his wife, Jill, they're just, you know, it's just heartbreak. The kids were in, Sean was in, my nieces, Kevin and Mara's children, my brother and other brother-in-law, Jay. And what's nice is that we're all, you know, like Mara was teasing. She said, there's X's and O's in this family. We're the X's, meaning Mara and I, we're the X's. And, but, you know, it's funny. And we have two weddings coming up in the Foley family. Mara's two daughters one is in June and one is in September. So that was going to be the first time that we all would be together, you know, all of us. And now this kind of, as Jill was saying yesterday, it's sort of happened in a way that, you know, you experience the same thing a little bit before a happy event, and it just kind of all came together. And it was in, you know, good time for me to see a lot of Tom's family, whom I haven't seen in years and years. And so that was the good part of it, and to celebrate Robbie's goodness was all there. But man, Lynn, it's a sad thing to think that it's, you know, here it is, and it's our generation. So that was heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. But he was a wonderful guy, and as Kevin said, he lived his life the way he wanted to, and that's the most important thing we can do.
Yeah.
So.
And then, of course, life.
He did. He really did.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the night before, after the viewing, that I watched the second last episode of
This Is Us.
And I was crying, like, to the point where yesterday, last night, I swore I had an infection in my eye from crying so much the night before and then at the funeral. And, of course, and I said this to someone, when you go to a funeral, not only do you grieve that person, but every other grief that you've experienced, every other person that you've grieved comes up, and you can't help but think about it. And it just smacks you. So, that's what was going on, and it was just so profoundly sad in so many ways, which funerals can tend to be. But and then that This Is Us thing, but it was reflective. It was sort of timely in a way because of the train that she was on and going through all the parts of her life and getting to the caboose, and that's symbolic of, you know, the end of your time. So it was,
and I thought it was interesting that she kept saying all the way I'm waiting for someone.
Right. Now, said that, who were you thinking she meant?
I wasn't sure at the time, but I realized.
I thought she meant Jack. It was her daughter, but I thought she, I kept thinking she meant Jack. And I
so
said to somebody, and I said, I bet you Jack is at the very end of this, like welcoming her to heaven. And although it wasn't necessarily that, it was still Jack right there with her. So, a beautifully, beautifully beautifully done show. The ensemble's great. I love all of the people in it. And it's like we were talking about it, Grace and Frankie, the last season is out now, and I'm slowly coming to eat the end of that because I'm sort of putting it off so I don't watch the final one because then I think it still exists. But like with those ensemble casts, you know, you're bound to not like someone. Well, I like all of the people in This Is Us, and I love everybody in Grace and Frankie and Schitt's Creek. I mean, you think I get so into it, I think they're like, I live next door to them.
Yes.
So you just, you know, whether it's that or reading a good book, you feel like they're your neighbors. So,
yeah,
it was a lot of crying, Miss Lynn, but other than that, yes. It was a good week.
Well, that's good. I agree with you about either the book or the movies or some television series. I find myself feeling what I was feeling about that show the next day, feeling the grief or feeling the happiness or whatever it was. It's really, that is just brilliant writing that it can get you to that point where you feel so engaged that you feel that those people are real. And I can't tell you how many times have I seen all over Facebook, I'm not ready to let the Pearsons go. Please,
I know. Well, you know, Lynn, I felt the same way years ago when 30-something was out. And I remember saying to my friends when I came back to Scranton, like, now I can be like 30-something, because I lived in Philadelphia and all of my good friends were here. And I never had that just stopover kind of, I mean, I had friends there, but they weren't my good friends. And no one would just stop over like you would in the 30-something realm. And then when I moved back, I was like, I can finally experience the 30-something feel of just stopping at my house and hanging out and doing that. And lo and behold, Ken Olin, who was in 30-something, I don't know whether he did the writing there. He probably did.
He did.
He's also one of the writers for This Is Us.
Yep.
So
yep.
You could tell his style is very distinct, I think.
Very much so. He's great.
You and they hold you.
They do indeed. But
they pull you.
More writing isn't like that. Instead of these stupid reality shows. Oh, God.
Reality, and even some of these series that people like. I don't know how people get into them. I can't.
I don't either.
It's just not my bag. I'm much more of a, you know, normal everyday life situation kind of thing to watch. I don't want to watch something that's too unreal for me. So,
but speaking of unreal, we have to take a break.
Okay.
You're listening to the Laurie Lynn Show, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Nancy Kamen from WILK's Morning News, and I know Laurie Cadden. A lot of people know Laurie Cadden. And more importantly, Laurie Cadden knows a lot of people. Laurie Cadden Enterprises specializes in fundraising, public relations, and special events. Laurie Cadden can take your business or organization to the next level. This isn't something that you learn about in a book. Heck, it can't even be taught. Laurie Cadden lives it. She knows how to work a crowd, open doors, and build and nurture relationships. With Laurie Cadden Enterprises, you get, ta-da, Laurie Cadden and her 20-plus years of experience. Call Laurie today at 357-8399, 357-8399, or email Laurie, Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, at LaurieCadden.com, LaurieCadden.com. Laurie Cadden Enterprises, because it is who you know.
I'm Dr. Nicole DeNova. Since VREC opened its doors in 2010, we've treated over 30,000 patients, including the puppy whose curiosity led him to a porcupine and the police canine who was just doing his job. VREC is located at 318 Northern Boulevard in Clark Summit and is open 24/7 for your pet peace of mind. To learn more about us, visit VRECPA.com or call 570-587-7777.
ERA, Exceptional Real Estate Agents. When you want to have the best of the best selling your home, you want ERA One Source Realty. With offices all over Northeastern Pennsylvania, ERA One Source Realty will give you the personalized service you'd expect from a professional real estate company. They have experienced realtors that have years of experience, which gives you, the home seller, an incredible advantage. They will offer suggestions to make your house sell faster. They will tell you what others will be looking for. They know how to present your home and sell its features, giving you the greatest chance to have your house sell fast. And ERA One Source Realty offers an industry-exclusive guarantee. If ERA doesn't sell your house, ERA will buy it. Yes, if they don't sell your house, ERA will buy it. That's peace of mind. That's a guarantee worth its weight in gold. Call ERA One Source Realty today and find out how you can have your house marketed by one of the top-rated companies in northeastern Pennsylvania. Call 877-587-SELL or on the web at ERA1.com. ERA One Source Realty, always there for you. It's Saturday morning with Lori and Lynn. Now, back to Lori and Lynn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Lori and Lynn Show, and I'm Lori Cadden, the owner of Lori Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business.
And I am Lynn Evans, and I am the managing director and certified financial planner with Women of Substance, LLC. That's a financial planning firm devoted specifically to the needs of baby boomer women. And I think it was, if not last week, it was 2 weeks ago that we started talking about the 10 important estate planning mistakes that people have made. And there was part one and part two. So we went over the first five the last time. And thanks to our contributor here, Attorney Scott Linett, who is with the Linett Law Firm. This is his newsletter, and it just came out this week. And these are the last five. All of
well,
which
Lynn,
are important.
I want to tell you, sorry to jump in, but I saw, I was going to tell you if you didn't say anything about Scott, I saw him the other day. He did not see me. He was crossing Mulberry Street. And I said, there's our Scott. And so I don't know where he was going, but I didn't yell because I didn't want to scare him, and I was driving a little too fast anyway. But there, lo and behold, was Attorney Scott Linett, one of the kindest, sweetest, smartest dudes around. I just absolutely yeah. love him. And before we talk more about him, I just want to mention two other things. In my the conversation we just had about seeing people, I have not seen Tom, my ex-husband's best friends, in probably 20, almost 20 years. And I sat with them and we talked and we reminisced. And one of we talked about the radio show because Louis Furiosi, one of his, Tom's best buddies, came in from Philadelphia, and his brother-in-law, Larry O'Hara, and his daughter, Kelly, who she passed a few months ago, was the sweetest kid, and she and Larry used to listen, and Larry, I hope, still does, but always listened when they were taking Kelly to her doctor's appointments, and they would listen in the morning. And so we were talking about Louis, and then his, and then Bob Morris, another dear friend who's actually Sean's godfather, whom I haven't seen, was so wonderful to see them and to be part of them, and I just, yeah. it made me think about that, to reconnect with those guys, and just to talk about things and remember all of the things we did when we were young and crazy, and for them to, they're men and they remembered it. So it was like, oh my God, you guys remember all those? So it was so much fun to see them too. So, and then, like I said, the next, right after that, I saw Scott. So it's all mm-hmm. full circle here. But anyway, so what yeah. do we have? Five more?
So five more. I just jumped into it. That's number six then, because the other five we talked about a couple weeks ago. So number six is not updating beneficiary designations. That mm-hmm. is really important. I've seen that so many times when people, you know, there's certain things that do not pass through a will. And people think that because they have a will, it's all taken care of. But when you start 401k plans, when you at your workplace, you always have to name beneficiaries. And if you've worked in a place for God knows how many years, or you get a divorce, or somebody dies who's one of your beneficiaries, if you don't change those beneficiaries to reflect the difference in your life, then that stuff will pass to whomever it was that you originally named. It has to. So for 401k plans, any IRAs that you own outside of your 401ks, and all of your life insurance policies, same thing. In a lot of cases, people I can think of that bought family plans, which used to be the thing to do 20 or 30 years ago. You named your spouse as your primary beneficiary, and then you named your children. and you name them in usually in equal amounts. Well, sometimes that's not even appropriate anymore to name the kids, because that's another thing we're going to talk about in a minute. When you name a minor child, that's somebody under the age of 18 in Pennsylvania, they can't really take the money. They're not allowed to. And so what ends up happening is that the court appoints someone as their administrator to look over the money until they're 18 years old. I don't think that's what most people intend, but I don't think they realize that if they don't change all these things, there's going to be some ugly family disputes.
The only thing I would disagree with, Lynn, let me just talk about one of those things. You know, you and I talked about this. These beneficiary IRAs can be very problematic to a lot of people, especially when you're older and don't necessarily want them or need them. I mean, you know what I'm saying. There's a lot of stipulation and regulation around those things. They can be a pain right in the – and I only know that because I've had it both ways. I've had a designee as a designated beneficiary on an IRA, and one that did not and went right to the estate, and then the money came out of the estate. So I guess there's tax implications, whatever. Notwithstanding, I just think they're a pain in the arse. You know that, we've talked about.
Yeah,
that.
They are.
Really,
the
are
beneficiary IRAs are set up as a choice that you make when the person who funded the IRA passes away. You can take it all out any moment you want, but sometimes it makes sense for tax reasons to set it up as a beneficiary IRA. And that's a whole other story, but you're right. It has all kinds of constraints around it, and it's very difficult, but for some people it makes sense. So, again, this is where you have to take a look at how you want to take it. The other thing is improper execution. And this is a biggie. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I know of people who set up trusts under their wills as part of their estate planning, and they never transferred assets into them. They never went through the process. So, for all intents and purposes, the trust doesn't even exist. There's nothing there. And if it was designed for the purpose of estate planning and an allocation of monies to certain people, it's out the window. The only thing that makes a difference is if you have jointly held property, which is another one of those that passes outside the will. Just because it's in somebody else's name may not be what you want. So in most situations where you have a married couple, when you purchase real estate, usually for most people that's their house, it's titled in joint name, which means that when one of the two of you passes, the other one automatically becomes the owner at 100%. Now,
but that's
that may not be what you want.
But, Lynn, that's because it's tenants by the entireties of your husband and wife.
Yes.
Dean?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last one. What?
But is that what you mean? It becomes tenants. It's in tenants by the entireties when you're a husband and wife. Is that how you mean that? And you can title it. Can you actually title it some other way, like tenants in common, if you're husband and wife?
You can do different types of joint ownership.
Okay.
But the other person has to acknowledge that that is okay. And that's usually part of it. You know, I acknowledge that I'm giving up my rights by the joint and the entireties, blah, blah, blah. But usually that's how people do it, just automatically. They don't even think about it. But that's another excuse that people have for not doing any formal estate planning. They say, well, I've got the house in joint name, or the car's in joint name, or something else is in joint name with my spouse, so why do I need to do anything? Everything else is just going to pass according to the will. Well, that may not be what you want in the end. But that is just something you've got to look at and see if that's still relevant to what you did when you set it up 25 or 30 years ago. Number eight is choosing the wrong executors or trustees. Man, we've been through a lot of that noise. But, you know, if people say, yeah, get this person who will be my executor or my trustee of my trust, and they're just a family friend, and they forget to tell them. And when they pass, all of a sudden, all, and you've been through this, you know what it means, all of the onus of settling an estate falls on a person who may not be qualified to do it and is in complete overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to think about who it is that you want to be your executor or your trustee and even your financial power of attorney, because you will normally go to a family member or an in-law or someone you trust, your best friend, but they need to live in the state that you're in, because it's very difficult to try to do this if somebody's in California. It's mm-hmm. really, really hard. And then number nine, an unintended conflict between family members. He says in this newsletter, family dynamics are, to put it lightly, quite complex. This is particularly true for blended families where spouses have children from previous relationships.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to go it alone using a do-it-yourself document service, you won't be able to consider all of the potential areas where conflict might arise among your family members and plan ahead to avoid such disputes. He says every day we see families end up in lifelong conflict due to poor estate planning. Yet we also see families brought together closer as a result of handling these matters the right way. When done right, the estate planning process is actually a major opportunity to build new connections within your family. And then number 10, failing to properly name guardians for minor children. If you're a mom or dad with children under the age of 18 at home, your number one estate planning priority should be selecting and legally documenting both long and short-term guardians for your kids. Guardians are the people legally named to care for your children in the event something happens to you. And he brings up a good point here, which I didn't really even think about. If you name guardians for your kids in your will and you think that that's the end of it, what would happen if you became incapacitated and were no longer able to care for them? Did you know that your will only becomes operative in the event of your death?
Yeah.
And it would do nothing to protect your children in the event of your incapacity. Or perhaps the guardians you named in your will live far from your home, so it would take them several days to get there if you haven't made legally binding arrangements for the immediate care of your children. It's highly likely they'll be placed with the authorities until those guardians arrive. That's part of the stuff that you don't think about. But there is such a thing that I think people might want to know about, as in the last one he mentioned a program where you can actually set out all of your intentions for your family, more like your values. But this one is about your kids, and this one is called the Kids Protection Plan. And it was created by a nationally recognized attorney who's a mom herself to make 100% certain that her kids would always remain in the loving care of the people she knows and trusts and never be raised by anybody she didn't want. So, again, I'm going to repeat that. It's called the Kids Protection Plan. Look it up online and get started.
There you go.
And with that, we're going to take another break. We'll be back with our guest expert, Dr. Nicole DeNova, from the Veterinary Referral and Emergency Center. Stay with us. You're listening to The Laurie Lynn Show.
Hi, my name is Lynn S. Evans, CFP, co-host of The Laurie and Lynn Show. I am the managing director of a new business, Women of Substance, LLC, a financial planning firm dedicated to the specific financial needs of baby boomer women. I help them navigate through widowhood, retirement, divorce, and job loss. Send me an email at lynn@lynnsevans.com and let me know how I can help you. I'm also the host of a podcast, Power of the Purse, available on more than 30 sites, including iTunes, Stitcher, Stitcher and Google Play. We record these lively conversations with women who've been there and have great advice to give others so they don't go down the same dark holes. And we feature some experts who share some great ideas to be prepared before you have to face these transitions. And we have a whole lot of fun. Please don't let the fear of not knowing about personal finances stop you anymore. I am here to take the confusion and mystery out of money. Go to my website, lynnsevans.com, and see how we can set up a time to talk or browse around the many blogs and other free info on the site. Remember, money's not the enemy. Your ignorance of it is.
The well-established and highly respected Northeastern Pennsylvania certified public accounting firm, Michael A. Barbetti, LLC, is making changes after almost 40 years in business. The firm name has changed and is now Barbetti McHale, LLC CPA, reflecting the addition of Michael F. McHale as partner in the long-standing firm. Although the name and partnership are a significant change, the staff won't change. Their Dunmore location won't change. The way they serve clients won't change. Their work ethic won't change. And Michael Barbetti's involvement won't change. The Barbetti-McHale partnership adds Mike McHale's 3 decades of experience in corporate and not-for-profit accounting for the clients of the regional firm. Barbetti-McHale, LLC Certified Public Accountants, provides professional accounting and tax services to all types of clients, ranging from individuals and family-owned businesses to governmental agencies and nonprofit organizations. Call Barbetti-McHale CPAs at their Dunmore office, and you too can make a change for the better.
Business banking at Fidelity.
We have a great relationship with Fidelity. They're like family with us. They're right next door to my business. If there's ever a problem, just one phone call, I don't even have to go to them. They come to me. It's great. I love being in the business. This was meant for me. We're very busy. I'm running every day, and I love to stay busy. So that's why I need a bank that's going to be there for me when I need them. Back in 2006, we were having a problem with our lease in our other building. We were looking for a place to go. We stumbled upon this location. It's right in the heart of downtown, right in the middle of the city, and it happened to be right next to Fidelity Bank. They went out of their way for us to get this building. It was wonderful, and it's been a great relationship ever since. I have a business line of credit with Fidelity that gives me buying power. My credit card machine runs through Fidelity, my checking account, my payroll taxes. They take care of it all for me. I bank with Fidelity, don't you?
Member FDIC.
Here's Lori and Lynn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Lori and Lynn Show. I'm Lori Cadden, the owner of Lori Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business.
And I am Lynn Evans, and I am the managing director and certified financial planner with Women of Substance, LLC. That's a financial planning firm devoted specifically to the needs of baby boomer women. And our guest expert today is Dr. Nicole DeNova, who is the, as she has been known to say in the past, the head chief.
Grand fromage.
Grand fromage at Veterinary Referral and Emergency Center in Clark Summit. And she's got some interesting information to pass on about what she sees that comes up quite often every summer. So hopefully, if you're listening, we can avoid this from happening. So welcome, Dr. DeNova.
Thanks. I'm always happy to be a part of the show.
Yay! So what do we have to watch out for?
It's always good to have the big wig with us. You know what I mean?
Oh, geez. You know, I take it as a joke because I hate it when anyone that I work with calls me the boss or they introduce me as, like, the president. Just say, I'm one of the surgeons. I'm just one of the doctors. So,
indeed.
You know, poking fun at myself. But anyway, well, I always think that it's kind of one of these things to start to consider, you know, just the timely events for our family members, including four-legged family members. And, you know, I don't know what is happening in the rest of the world, but we've had a very bizarre spring thus far, but I feel like we're going to kind of quickly launch ourselves off into this really warm weather. And we are starting to see some things around the hospital. And when I say this, I'm talking in general because obviously we have different services here. We have an emergency service, and we have a surgery service, we have a cardiology service, we have internal medicine. So in general, across the board in the hospital, things to consider about, it's nice out, you want to spend time outside, you're going to light up that barbecue pretty soon. It's going to be one of those weekends. You know, dogs will get into silliness, like the grease trap underneath the barbecue. It's not good for them. It can make them very sick. It can cause some GI upset. It can cause some pancreatitis, so inflammation to their pancreas, which really, really is not a good scenario. And depending on severity, it could be just a quick visit in and out to the emergency room, but it may also be a multiple-day stay with the emergency doctors and even, you know, something like an ultrasound with the internal medicine doctor. And pancreatitis can end up being life-threatening. We get outside and we're having a good time. We want to start exercising and getting our, you know, fit fiddle swimming pool bodies back. At least my dogs do. And so we're talking about, you know, running and jumping and playing. And so then we start getting into issues about, God forbid, but it happens, you know, being hit by a car or some kind of a trauma because your dog wants to chase the bicyclist that's going down the road, you know, torn cruciate ligaments, all kinds of injuries, fractured legs. So just keeping an idea about it's nice out, but that isn't just about you running along with your dog. It's also about more cars are on the road, you know, things of that nature. So just caution, but it happens. And then as we start to exercise, and this is sort of the silly joke, but it happens to us too, you know, you think you're going to do the Tour de France and you're going to run the Boston Marathon tomorrow, and your dog is feeling the same way, and unfortunately things happen like heat stroke, you know, overexertion during hot, humid days. It may not even seem like it's that hot, but it might be humid. And so your dog, just like you, may not be as cardiovascularly fit as they were, you know, when you closed the season the year before. So just be thoughtful about, you know, what is going on and where you're going. If you're off on a 10-mile hike, you might get 5 miles in and realize you're going to have a hard time getting back out because your dog's struggling. So lots of water. You know, if you start to think that you're seeing signs of exhaustion, you know, stop, turn around. It's easy to say if you've got a 35-pound dog or something, you might be able to pick them up. But when you're dealing with an 80-pound dog, it's not the same situation. So just, you know, little things that maybe I think with the exuberance of spring and summer, we don't think about it and we just launch off and go do things. But, you know, there's potentials for trauma or maybe some health issues that we weren't thinking about. That's all.
Nicole, two things. One, you mentioned something just a few minutes ago about the dogs being around a pool.
And that's the other one.
Yeah.
Great point.
What can we do about that? I mean, they just want to jump in because we're in, but that may not be a good thing.
Yeah, actually, I have to say, it's not just about jumping in. It's actually the dogs that get through the fence and they're not supposed to, especially with summertime covers. Those are those thin little bubble wrap type covers. Dogs who aren't accustomed will think that they can walk out onto that cover. They fall in, and then they become trapped under the cover. All the safeties that you put into place for your children, you have to put the same safeties in place for your four-legged children. And, yes, we certainly have seen our share of horror stories here. Even my own silly dogs at home, there's been accidents around the pool. Knock on wood, thank goodness, nothing, you know, terribly, terribly bad. But it's even scared me to do some things. So, you know, whether it's in summertime, they wear a giant cowbell on their collar so you know where they are. You put safety gates so that the gates close. You know, you have to try and modify their behavior so that you scare them. My dogs are scared to go into the swimming pool if we're not around. When we're around, we encourage them to come in with us, but then there's always an adult around to monitor them. If there's not, dogs leave when we leave. You know, you can put things underneath gates if you have smaller dogs, because ours certainly, like, do the army crawl underneath. You can put alarms on the gates so that if the door should open, you can hear something ring. The worst-case scenarios, unfortunately, typically happen when people aren't home. And they come home from work, and then they find something scary. So it's usually the, you know, securing the area so that hopefully accidents don't happen in the first place. But that's a great point, and I didn't even think to mention it.
The other thing, too, I was talking to Cheryl yesterday from your office, the person in HR.
She's our new staff manager. Yep.
she was
and
on
a human
the show
nurse
a couple months ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she mentioned something to me that I thought was really strange because I never even thought about it. But this is time of year when a lot of baby snakes are born, and they hang out on rocks. And as she said, that you know, your cats and dogs get curious and start
sure.
going after these things, and they get bitten.
Yeah.
And you have to have a certain supply of anti-venom at the hospital. How
yeah.
common is this?
You know, it's one of these things, and I would tell you it's the same thing in a human emergency setting, that you might go 4 years without having a single, needing to use a single vial of antivenin, but then all of a sudden we might have, you know, three patients within the same month. And so there's not many poisonous snakes or spiders in Pennsylvania, but there are some. And, you know, if there's ever a question or concern, or certainly if you've witnessed it occur, get them to an emergency room as quickly as possible. Some of these cases, they show up and we have to sort of do some sleuthing to figure out that it might have been 4 or 5 days before that they might have, you know, and parents might not have seen them get attacked by a, you know, poisonous spider. But then just from the clinical findings and the history, we start to figure it out and then we can employ treatment for that. But yes, it does happen. It's one of those just random things. My dogs typically get stung in the face by bees. That's my claim to fame. And they get big swollen faces and they basically are starting to have an anaphylaxis reaction. And so we have to give them some steroids and some Benadryl. And they do fine, but even in my own household, it has certainly happened where I turn around and I, you know, they're just getting that swollen, silly looking, sad face. And I have to take my own kids into the emergency room and say, emergency doctor, my doggy was dumb, and here we are. So anything can happen at any time, really.
Yeah, I've seen Calvin.
You figure they have no clue about, and they have no clue about the bees and what they're going to do. They just
no.
see this thing buzzing around them, right? And then it lands.
Exactly.
Out. Wow.
Yep, exactly.
I never even thought
and
of
sometimes
it.
I don't even know what my dogs chomped down on, but they obviously ate something
oh.
they weren't supposed to do because,
oh,
you know,
God.
Probably a wasp or something silly when it's happened.
Yeah, because they can get stung in their mouth too, right?
Sure, exactly. That's the pretty, or somewhere on their face or something like that. So,
well, you should know that Laurie is such a fan of spiders.
I'm scared to death, and I was going to say, how many? Like we can't. Maybe we do, but we don't really have. But you answered it before. That many poisonous snakes and/or horrible spiders. So,
right.
But still, you just never know what's. Oh, God.
Usually spiders, it's something that unless you've witnessed it, we have to start to sort of suss it out a couple days later, and it's by what happens as the sort of poor side effects from being bitten by a nasty type of spider. Snakes, it may be the same scenario, but usually parents are aware when, you know, a dog or a cat is bitten by a snake. And it's, again, it's not, I don't want people to think that, you know, every snake out in their backyard is an evil snake. They're probably not. And those snakes are more afraid of you than you are of them. But it does happen sometimes. And, you know, like you said, Lynn, that's very appropriate, too. They're coming out from their little nests, and they want to warm up, and they're hunting, they're hungry, and they've got babies to feed. And, you know, it's just, again, it's I equate it to human children. If a human kid, young child is out there playing and they see a snake, some of them are going to scream and run, and some of them are going to say, ooh, what is this thing? Let me go pet it. I want to poke it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, and that's our human two-legged children. I think sometimes our four-legged family members are even more inquisitive and curious because it's moving around and they want to play with it or whatever their little prey instinct might tell them to do.
And, Nicole, let's be clear. Two-legged humans who are 50, 61 years old scream and run from spiders and snakes, too. So I'm with it. Did you notice I was going to say 51? I was putting myself
back
10
years.
That's okay.
So
that's
what?
Okay.
That's all right.
Oh,
boy. Well, I mean, the good word is that you just have to be, it's not just like you have to pay, and I say this, and people probably are sick of hearing it, but I say it all the time. And I always used to tell my kids with dogs, they're like babies. They can't survive on their own. So you have to pay as much attention to what they're doing and make sure they're safe as you do anybody else.
Yeah, and, you know, they live with us, and we come with our own series of, risky sort of lifestyles, like a swimming pool. You know, dogs aren't going to... I can tell you a number of stories in my personal life where, you know, it's a new dog introduction and the dog immediately goes, oh, and walks out into the pool and you sort of go, no. And that's, you know, how you learn your lesson and you say, that was a dumb thing to do. You've got to introduce them in a different way. That was so dangerous and silly and they're fine. But it's, I'm sort of saying it a little bit jokingly in the sense of, you know, that's a risk for living with us as humans. So that dog normally, you know, isn't going to experience that. They're going to see a lake or a pond or something. It's very different. I think being thoughtful about what's in your environment that might harm them, and just trying to think about it and plan for it. And like I say, that even comes with just us introducing them to, here's spring and here's all the exciting things we're about to do. I've had dogs who have eaten stacks of hamburgers off the barbecue, whole corn cobs. In fact, I had a St. Bernard one time came in with a metal skewer in his stomach, and there were six hamburgers stacked up on the skewer. He swallowed it whole. So those are, you know, you don't think your dog's going to jump up onto the barbecue and steal a whole bunch of food, but that's what they do.
He is a St. Bernard after all.
Right. Yeah. That was a simple, small snack for him. That was like being on a toothpick,
exactly.
Right?
Wow.
So.
Well, Nicole, so, always good information, but a little more. Give us a quick rundown. How's the hospital? What's going on up there?
Yeah, we're good. I know it's frustrating for so many people in the community, but we are slowly but surely just building up staff. You know, we wanted to do something as responsible as we could, and that is that we announce when we have the staffing available to have the emergency services open. So you can always call here and ask. It's on our website. It's on, you know, social media, Instagram, Facebook. It's on the sign out front. And if we, for some reason, are not open on that shift, just call and ask questions. We can always refer you to other facilities. Facilities all over the nation are going through this right now, so we try and work closely with other hospitals so that if we're not there, we know who is. Surgery's always here. That's a normal schedule. Internal medicine's the normal schedule. Cardiology's the normal schedule. It just really is kind of an impact for the emergency service. But we've been hiring like crazy. We've got tons of new, wonderful, wonderful family members. So we're slowly but surely just getting back there. It's just one step at a time. And as I always say, we're here for the marathon, not the sprint. So the community knows that, and we're doing what we can to be as diligent and caring as we always have been.
There you go. And how can anyone, if they need your service, how can they get in touch with you?
So the phone number is 570-587-7777. Our social media, everything is always under VRECPA, so for Facebook, Instagram, and then our website as well.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us. Enjoy the summer with our cute little, sweet little child and the rest of your family, your four-legged friends. And we appreciate, as always, your sponsoring and believing in us, as you always did right from the get-go. So thank you for that. Enjoy your summer. Hopefully we'll talk to you again next month. And Lynn, I'll see you soon. Everyone else out there, have a wonderful weekend. And thanks for listening. Be safe and please be nice. Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.